God's grace and peace be with you as we gather for worship today. I hope you enjoyed our hymn of the day, Faith of Our Fathers. I have to tell you, I got a chill as I was singing it. I hope that happens to you every once in a while when you sing some of these very meaningful hymns that every once in a while you just get a little shiver that goes through you. To me, it kind of makes me realize this is the truth. When you see the truth and it hits you in the nose, you should feel something. And so my hope is as you were singing Faith of Our Fathers, your soul was crying out to you, this is true. This is true. Hold on to this. This is true. Our second reading today reminded us that men and women of faith have died in order to follow in God's path. They had a promise from God that someday God would take them home. They would be loved and they would be safe. But here on earth, it would be trouble for them. For as they proclaimed God's word, they would be persecuted. And yet, even though they recognized the pains of persecution, they continued to be faithful and did amazing things. And so we see some of their names written in our reading from the book of Hebrews. And we hear of their suffering, how some were mocked and flogged, even enchained and in prison. Some were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They were destitute. They were persecuted. They were tormented. They wandered in deserts and in caves and in holes in the ground. And they did not receive what God had promised them, not in this life, but they looked forward to a life which was to come. And they trusted in God and in God's word, and they did remarkable things even as they suffered. We as Christians want to believe that Christ came to bring peace to the earth. We really want to believe that. And one day Christ will bring peace. When he comes again, he will bring a peace which is lasting. But until he comes again, there will be trouble here on earth. And those who take their faith seriously will at times be persecuted. There are Christians throughout the world who are being persecuted for their faith. Many who are being tortured, some who are being killed, even as I speak. Here in America, we're free to worship as we like. We're free to accept one faith or another. We're free to worship one God here or another God there. No one shoots at us on the way to church. No one makes fun of us because we're Christians. Perhaps a few might. Our faith should be something that we're willing to die for, much as those who have come before us. It must be something that we put all of our trust in. All of our future demands it. That is why I am troubled now, and please forgive me, because I'm going to listen to my wife who says, just be yourself. When you preach, just be yourself. That's a dangerous thing. I know myself. I really do. Just be yourself, that's a dangerous thing to tell me to be. But I'm going to listen to her this time, and I'm going to share with you. This is from me as your pastor. This is not from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. This is not from the Northeastern Pennsylvania Synod. This is from me. This is personal and from me. We live in a time when convenience seems to be the most important commodity, convenience. And so everything we purchase and everything we buy and everything we subscribe to, we want it to be the most convenient that it can be. You know? A few of us remember that saying, hold the pickle, hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. We live in a world of special orders, a world where if you know the right company or the right organization, all your immediate needs can be satisfied and at a reasonable price. All you have to do is subscribe or buy or purchase. Faith should not be that way, and frankly, it is not that way. It disturbs me at times, sometimes, because I realize we live in a very busy world and everyone tends to want to do everything. We don't want to miss out on anything. And we've taught our kids to participate in everything. And in that process, our faith has suffered because it has become one more thing to do, one more thing to attend. Pastor, do you think you could start the worship service 15 minutes earlier or 15 minutes later? Pastor, do you think you could reschedule a confirmation because something in the family's come up. Pastor, do you think you can? And suddenly this world where our faith was central to us as believers, this world is getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And if we could squeeze God in, that would be a really good idea, Pastor. You think you could just squeeze a little somewhere? We could kind of make God fit into this tiny hole that we have in our life. Because everything else is filled. Everything else is filled. Our gospel message today reminds us that the early Christians had to suffer greatly for their faith. There was no choice of religions back in Jesus' day. If you were a Jew, Collie G. Willikers, you were a Jew. And if you were a Gentile, well, you were a Gentile. And there weren't too many Jews that wanted to be Gentiles or Gentiles that wanted to be Jews. And families were not as a whole divided by faith until Jesus came into the world. And his faith began to find its roots, beginning in Jerusalem and spreading throughout the world. It must have been a shock to a lot of Jewish fathers and mothers that their children wanted to follow someone who they believed, who the children believed was the Messiah. And instead of going to the temple to make a sacrifice, they had other things in mind. They had other things in mind. More importantly, it must have been difficult both to Jews and Gentiles alike that their children, or perhaps their parents, or perhaps their slaves, now wanted to love their enemies as well as themselves. It must have been hard to understand why they should love the Romans who were conquerors and who were holding them prisoner in Jerusalem and certainly throughout Israel. And yet the Christianity flourished, even though it tore apart families, even though it led to persecution and death. It is amazing that was the case. My hope for us in this day is that we can take our faith seriously. Take our faith seriously enough not to compromise it at every turn to make someone else happy. Because I do think there are a lot of people who want to make their friends happy and their neighbors happy and their children happy and their grandparents happy, even at the cost of their own faith, even at the cost of following in Christ's steps. We don't want to inconvenience anyone, even if it means we have to give up something important about our faith. Many young families have already given up Sunday morning worship because there's something else that's more important in their life. That's a choice they've made. And if you've made that choice, an old saying says, you make your bed and you sleep in it. If that's your bed and you're going to sleep in it, then fine. That's just the way it is. Choose who you will serve this day. Choose if you're going to serve the world and your neighbors and your friends and your relatives and those people around you. Choose if you're going to make them happy or if you're going to make God happy first. Because if you're going to make everyone else happy, I'm pretty sure you're going to be miserable and your faith will suffer. If you're willing to take a chance, if you're willing to trust in God and God's word, if you're willing to take God's word seriously and tell your friends and relatives, my faith matters to me, I'm sorry, I can't accommodate you, I can't bend my life to suit your needs. If you can tell your children and your grandchildren, you know, you have a soccer meet on Sunday morning, I won't necessarily be there, at least not at the beginning. I may be there at the end, after worship is over. It's not because I don't love you, but my faith kind of demands it of me, and I need to worship the God I love on Sunday morning. Hopefully your family will understand that. Hopefully they will recognize the value of that. But you have to take a chance and do that. Christianity is not here to accommodate everyone's personal needs. It is not a convenient religion. It simply isn't. It demands your heart and your soul and your mind. It requires that you love your enemies. I can't think of a more difficult religion than this. But if God has called you to faith, and if you are to persevere in this faith, you will have to tell some people you love that you can't help them at times. You can't always be there for them. You can't always meet their particular needs. There will not be French toast made on Sunday morning so that they can enjoy French toast. They can have French toast when you come home from worship. They can have it before service begins. But they will not have it while their worship is going on. Christianity isn't for everyone. If you've got, there are easier religions. There are easier religions to follow. You can get on the internet, you can learn about them. Following Christ has always been difficult. The good news for us is no one generally takes our lives for following in his path. We can worship freely in this country. Let us do so. Let us be strong in our faith. Let us stand up for what God has told us is right and true. Let us not fall into the world's deceptions and confusions. Let us not decide to make enemies of people, but instead find even those who are at the margins of society worthy of our care and our attention. Let us follow the words of our hymn of the day. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to you till death. Let us commit ourselves to our faith. Let us be good Christians. It's not easy to do in this world. I will tell you that. It is not easy to do. It's easy to be compromised. It's easy to make life convenient for everyone else but ourselves. Let us be strong in our faith and love others as they need to be loved, and risk even our reputation and our relationships for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.